So, I don't know how much time I have left. A day, a week, a month, a year, a decade. Why, who knows? It's unlikely, but it's possible. My life's not even half over. There are people who make 97. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't know how much time you have left. But I do know what I need to do with my time and what God expects for us to do with the time that we have left. God expects us to make a difference. He tells us that. It's one of the last parables that he tells. It's the book of Matthew, chapter 25. It's one of the last things he talks about with his disciples. We think it had a lot of importance. It says a lot about what Jesus thought was really important when you live your life, because it talks about the end of time, when Jesus, the righteous judge, will stand with his Father in that great moment of the final judgment. And Jesus describes it in these terms, that the people come and they're separated as sheep and goats. And he talks about the sheep, the ones that are going to enter into heaven. And he says, this is what their lives were known for. He says in Matthew chapter 25, these words, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now, we know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and that was at his core of his mission, and that should be at the core of our mission. But when Jesus describes how that mission is lived out, he describes it in Matthew 25 as serving others. I think in part when we serve others in love, we actually have a reason and a right then to be able to say something about who Jesus is and who God is to the world. Jesus talked about people who made a difference. But we hear all this today, a song and sermons and all this talk about making a difference, and we think, come on, this is just me you're talking about. It's just me, and I don't have all those great abilities, and I don't have all this desire to go out and be around people. I don't even like people sometimes, and so how am I going to make a difference in the world, and how could God possibly use me to make a difference? Well, maybe you're like Mr. Martin, Charles Martin, a man in Texas. His wife said to him one day, even though they had two children, you know, I really think God wants us to adopt a child. Now, they almost had their first two raised, and he thought this was crazy, and he said, what are you talking about? This can't be from God. You've been watching too much Oprah or something. I don't know what this is about, but we're not ready to adopt a child. And so he really resisted it. And she just prayerfully just kept going, and once or twice a week, she'd say, you know, I really have this urging from the Lord. We're supposed to adopt a child. And he was a preacher, you know, and so he had a few things to say about God, and he was pretty certain that if God wanted them to adopt a child, God would make that really clear to him. At the same time, he was a good husband, and he knew that his wife was really passionate about this, and so he thought, well, she doesn't really know what she's getting in for, so we'll go to the classes. We'll drive into the city, and we'll go to the classes, and we'll see. She'll see what this is really like, and it'll change her mind about this. And so he, with the intent of not taking these children, went with his wife to 12 meetings to find out about adopting a couple of children. And as they went into this part of Texas to these meetings week after week, you can imagine that on the drive home, his wife would say, you know, the Lord really wants us to adopt these kids. And he'd say in his heart, you know, the Lord really doesn't want me to adopt these kids. And so it went until the 12th week. And at the end of the 12th session, the lady that was in charge says, now, is there anyone here who's ready to bring a child into their home? And Bishop Martin said all of a sudden, he could hardly believe the words that came out of his mouth, yeah, we don't just want one, we want two. So they adopted a 5-year-old girl and her little brother, who was 2. This little girl had lived on the street in the inner city for about a week on her own at 5-year-old, taking care of her 2-year-old brother. She was so good at conning people, she conned money off of drug addicts. That's not easy to do. Found a way to survive, and it took them, think about this, a 5-year-old, it took them almost a week to find her and get her. She was a streetwise kid. This preacher, the Martins, Donna and Bishop Martin, they live in a little town in Texas called Possum Trot, population 750. Bishop Martin said, "What do you have to offer kids in Possum Trot? Nothing but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That's all we have to offer in Possum Trot. There's no bowling alley. There's no skating rink. There's no arcade. There's nothing, not even a good playground at that time. But we sure could love them." And so he brought 2 children into his home, and they started to raise them. And as they did that, they were faithful to that. All of a sudden, about a year later, 2 other families in the church that they served came to the bishop and his wife and said, "You know what? That thing that you did, we'd like to do that. We'd like to make a difference in some kids' lives. We want to adopt a couple of kids." And so he said, "Well," he said, "you got to go to these classes." And they said, "Well, you know what? We don't have the money to do that. That's quite a big deal. And it's a long way to the city, over 100 miles. I said, "Is there some way someone can come to us and do the classes here at our church?" So he called the lady up, and the lady that was in charge of the classes, and she said, "Well, I can't do it for less than 10 families. I can't do it unless you have 10 people signed up to do it, 10 couples. So the preacher went back to his church, kind of like I go to you on Sunday sometimes, and he said, "Now listen, folks, you may not want to adopt a child at all, and that's absolutely fine. But we can get this lady to come here and do this for some families that do if we have 10 couples sign up for this class for 12 weeks. Would you be interested in coming just to help make this available to your friends and neighbors in the church pew?" 12 families signed up. 12 weeks later, how many families do you think adopted kids? All 12. Since that day, over 20 years ago, the Possum Trot Baptist Church has adopted over 76 children. They have completely obliterated the welfare or the child care, foster care roles in several counties of Texas. The minister went to school to learn child psychology so he would be equipped to handle this caseload. They had to send people into their school because they dwarfed the tiny little Possum Trot school was overwhelmed. Because people in the church just said, "You know what? We could make a difference in a kid's life." And one little church has had a huge impact on the state of Texas. And when people look at Possum Trot Church, they say, "Wow, they went all in. That church really cares." I mean, it gets all kinds of national attention. All kinds of things have happened there, right? But it started with a wife who was quite an ordinary person in a place that was very ordinary and very humble, said, "You know what? I think God might be calling us to do this." There were all kinds of reasons for everyone around her to say, "No, that's just not a good idea." But she was faithful. In time, her husband was faithful. In time, their church was faithful. And you know, not a single one of those kids that have come into that situation have been in legal trouble, and everyone that's been old enough to graduate has graduated. And the 5-year-old girl has grown up. She's studying criminal justice now. It's remarkable what God can do when we're willing to say, "Use me to make a difference." Friends, you can make a difference.